Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, everybody, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com, and the Cincinnati Inquirer. Thrilled to be with you. Hey, it's sort of like a new half season thing, kind of. Yeah. The team reported for the first time today.
Yeah.
So players back in the building for the first time. So, you know. You always, it's like a little bit of first day. You get some new, you got some new faces. No one's happier than Chris Smith.
Very happy.
He's the happiest man in the building. The new defensive end they traded for with Jacksonville for the conditional seventh round pick. So we got a lot of stuff to get to regarding talking to some players too. We'll get through some of that stuff. Today is basically going to be dedicated to you, the fans.
Yeah.
Our people. We love you. And I wanted to get all of your draft questions. You guys are always firing stuff at us. So we want to try to get to as many questions as you guys have about the upcoming draft as possible. So we're going to start with a little bit about some news that we've got going on today. And then we're going to run down the list of questions that we got from people on Twitter at Paul Diener Jr. at Jim Ossarski about the draft. So we'll try to cover what is what you guys are talking about. We want to feel like we've not gotten onto some topics. We talked a lot about the draft the last few weeks, but if you feel like we've missed something, we want to try to get to it. So we'll do that in a bit. Speaking of getting to it, this may kind of feel like you've already listened to this podcast or you've heard this conversation before, but guess what? Adam Jones back in the news again today.
Yeah. It's right? You know, first interview. I personally, Paul, think it was, you know, let's just get it out of the way. First day, first interview.
Might as well blow up on somebody.
Well, you know, that wasn't ideal.
No.
Was not ideal. I mean, all kidding aside, yeah, it's just, look, the optics have not been good for any of this. We long discussed all offseason. Adam, after starting the first interview of the first day relatively well, and it just didn't end that way.
It didn't end that way. The basics of it are Adam asked to not be asked about his case.
Yes.
So if that was this. That was what he said at the beginning, and that's how it started. And then the question started. And the first question, which was in the area of his case, was just about the team supporting him and thoughts on the team supporting him. He had gave a great answer.
Yeah.
You know, he said, words can't express my gratitude and feelings for this organization, Mr. Brown, Coach Lewis, my teammates, the city of Cincinnati. This is home. I'm eager to be here. I love football, blah, blah, blah. That was the great answer. So, okay, you're thinking, so he's comfortable with this. So a couple other questions go off in a couple other different directions. And then same reporter comes back with another question and says, I know you were thankful for the organization. Is there anything you have to show to fans that you have to prove to the fans for them to welcome you back since there were a lot of people upset with the way things went down in the offseason for you? That was the question. Honestly, you can't throw a softer softball than that.
Yeah.
It's say something to the fans. And he did. He went off. Basically yelled, get out of the huddle or whatever. Right.
kicks the reporter out, and to his credit, backed out and tried to let the interview go on with everybody else. It didn't. It stopped there because everybody was taken aback by this. And then so as it dispersed, it got way worse. And it was screaming. It was yelling at the other guy. And the reporter just kind of stood there. And, you know, and Adam just kept going off and curse words. And at one point, Wallace Gilberry and Andre Smith came over to try to calm him down.
Yeah.
He walked past him on his way to the bathroom and back from the bathroom, and both times kicked it up again. It's just a bad look.
Yeah.
It's just a bad look. And it was the first chance to say something and kind of help put this behind. And it really breathed new life into it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and just, I got some little inside baseball because we saw some, or inside football, I guess. So that's what we do here. Because I saw some things on Twitter about, you know, athletes shouldn't be able to say what they want to talk about or not talk about. Look, any one person can tell a reporter these are parameters for an interview. It happens all the time. It's up to reporters to determine that, if that's true or not, or if that's what they want to participate in. And then it's up to the subject to continue yes, no, or the other way, you know, if it ventures in. So, yeah, Adam, you're right, Paul. Adam said, I don't want to talk about the case. Or if he asks, I'm going to walk away. The questions weren't really about that, so he answered them. The first one really well. Second one was an answer.
Yeah.
And the report. Yeah, it was just an open locker room. And in case anyone's wondering, like, you know, why this sort of comes out or whatever, open locker room is open locker room. I mean, a year ago or 2 years ago when Vontaze Burfict's "I Hate Pittsburgh." You know, he just sort of like shouts it on his way to the training room. Well, it's the media's in there.
Yeah.
So you're right, Paul. It was sort of the first, it started good. I don't know. I'm kind of flipping my hands up in the air. People can't see that, but that's kind of where I'm at. It's like,
Here's the thing about it, and I want to end it after this.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spend the whole time talking about this. Is these altercations happen. Like, it's, and it's not necessarily about this happening. I mean, things like this do happen in the locker room.
Guys get upset with things we write or ask all year.
Ask or whatever. I mean, it does happen. It's the fact that it's the first opportunity since this to say something. It's the first thing that Adam has said since Mike Brown came out and said, I'm standing behind this guy, believe in this guy, and giving the stamp of approval to then immediately turn and cause a scene over a question just asking you about if you have a message to the fans.
Yeah.
It wasn't interrogate. It wasn't trying to take somebody on or anything like that. And to cause a scene like that, it's the timing. It's the time and place, the circumstance. It's not the fact. If Adam wants to, Adam's yelled at me before. He's probably yelled at you before. He's yelled at a lot of people after losses and things like that. It's okay. Guys are fiery. Guys are allowed to say whatever they want to say. I don't have a problem with it. It's the timing. It's the look of it. It's the fact that the question is literally just a softball. And it's just when you're trying to show that your team made the right decision to bring you back and gonna, you know, to open like that, it's just a bad look. That's all there is to it. But this, as you said, this whole thing's kind of been a bad look. Let's move on. Let's get to the draft question. So draft, of course, coming up right around the corner. I hope you guys are enjoying our series. We've got our draft strategy series is getting going.
Yeah.
You started with the quarterbacks on Monday, safeties on Tuesday, and we're working our way down by our view of positional priority for the team, and it'll lead you right up to both trenches being one and two once you get up to the draft on the 27th. So keep an eye on that. We really delve into a lot of the details of sleepers, Bengals fits, what some people are saying about some of the guys that the Bengals are interested in, and a lot of the inside information on each position. So that way, just keep an eye on that. It's in the paper. It's online. We did videos answering specific questions from each position. So there's lots of stuff that's going to be there and still coming. We'll try to get to the stuff that you guys feel like you don't know yet. So I kind of got a list of them here that I've collected throughout the day, and I'm just going to kind of run down through them. So let's start with the first one from Zim Car Tell Living.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
The Zim.
No, the Zim. Why not Corey Davis? Best available at the spot, same talent, 9.55 for defensive end, running back, second round, after draft, predominantly defense. I don't really know what a lot of that means, but I'll start with why not Corey Davis. It's a good question. I was on the Corey Davis bandwagon early, and I think he's going to be a great player. I think a lot of people and scouts are really high on him. The fact that he didn't run, that he's got this injury thing has kept him off of running, I think, has cooled a little bit people on him. And the question of small school, I think, is out there. I addressed that earlier. You can go back and look. I have a story up about – it's from the beginning of our Targets series about him and Mike Williams. I think Corey Davis can be a good player. I think there's other places that they can go and have a bigger impact immediately, and – they want to give the three guys that they drafted last year a chance to prove that they can be that guy. And they invested in him and saw one of the most productive seasons from rookie receivers that they've ever had.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd can be that guy to take that next step. I mean, they drafted him in the second round last year.
Yeah.
Cody Core, take a step. Alex Erickson is more of a slot guy. He could play, obviously, showed he can play a little bit. And they have Brandon LaFell for two more years. That decreases the priority a little bit. I think they'd consider Corey Davis in the right scenario, but I don't think at nine. And that's my thought on it, is that they're going to point to Tyler Boyd and Cody Core in particular when discussing why they would maybe push Corey Davis back on their board a little bit.
Yeah, and we kind of got into this on the BBP a couple weeks ago with the offense. Just where receiver kind of tumbled down the need list, not just from who's already on the roster, but, you know, the plethora of talent and higher-end talent. I mean, I don't think he's wrong in the sort of consensus being there's a lot of pass rushers, there's a lot of corners that you can get. But, yeah, I just, you know, hey, look, I'm all about a receiver. They want to take one and nine, that'd be great. But I just think I think the only thing that would change, Paul, in my mind, is if no QBs and only Leonard Fournette went in the top eight, and like all of the pass rushers they wanted are gone, and then at that point they might just want to trade down. So you know, I think it's more of, you know, Corey Davis seems like a nice, you're right, like a nice player, but. I think it's just that the needs are elsewhere, and when you're picking that early, you know, it's not a luxury pick anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So thanks for that question. We'll move on from that. Like you said, we talked a lot about the receiver thing a couple weeks ago. From the Fultonator, Fulton, who's always sending us stuff. I know.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Always sending us questions. Do you expect any first or second round picks completely out of the blue the way – William Jackson III was last year? He was not on anyone's radar. I do, because that's what the Bengals do. I mean, they.
He was on our radar.
He was on.
I believe in our draft series that you just promoted. He was.
Bengals fit? Was he the best Bengals fit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that. Because we even had Paul. I remember Paul Alexander after the draft being like, you know, you guys don't normally know anything, but you nailed our Westerman.
Yeah, Westerman and Billings.
Yeah, Westerman and Billings we had in there as the Bengals.
I don't know about the other
floor.
Seven that I'm sure we also got close to right, but, you know.
Yeah.
I remember getting right.
Yeah, I have to go back, and I would like to actually go back at some point. And I haven't never actually went back and looked, but I know that we had quite a few that were pointed out. So I do, because BPA – has dictated them doing some surprising things, particularly in the second round. I mean, we've seen when you're talking about, you know, when they took Jake Fisher was a surprise pick. William Jackson was a surprise pick. I don't think Jeremy Hill was a huge surprise pick, but a little bit. They took a running back a year after they had taken Gio. Tyler Eifert was a bit of a surprise pick in the first round. I don't think people necessarily – they had Jermaine Gresham. I don't think people necessarily saw Tyler Eifert coming, not from a long way away. I think as it got closer, you could see it. But and in retrospect, you could see it. But leading up, I don't think people really pegged the Bengals for Eifert. And there's also a chance for more of a surprise when they are picking later on. I mean, yeah. When you're in the top nine, I think you do have a better idea.
You're right. I think that's the – I think if they stay at nine – anyone from O.J. Howard to Leonard Fournette to Derek Barnett to, I mean, even a Corey Davis. I mean, that, none of those would be a surprise. But if they were to trade down into the teens, then you could see your – but you're right, second round, I mean, that could be
anything. Absolutely. I think pretty much any position outside of quarterback and probably safety is in play in the second round, because that's really the way they've operated, particularly with these second round picks. Margus Hunt was a second round pick who was a surprise they would take a project. Even Devin Still, when they took him, was a surprise because people didn't think they would take a defensive tackle necessarily in that draft. Maybe they would, but not that high. And then they followed it up with Brandon Thompson in the next round. You learn a lot about how the Bengals view their roster really, truthfully.
Yeah.
On these days, and you will, especially with 11 picks. So I in the first couple rounds, I think more so in the second than in the first, I would be thinking a surprise is certainly in play, and nine could surprise us, but we know a lot of the usual suspects that they'd be looking at with that pick. So anyway, Fulton, thank you for the question. It was a good one. Getting into some of the Bengals history a little bit. All right, next question. Can't guard Max. Max says, why or why not would O.J. Howard be the best fit for the Bengals at nine? We kind of talked about this a little bit in the offense one a couple weeks ago, but we can revisit it a little bit. We talked to Tyler Eifert today, and he said he feels good, and you know, he expects to be back by training camp, and you know, he's coming back off this back thing. And one thing that struck me, at one point he said, there's just, we were asking him what he was doing and what he can do. And he said, there's just certain things I'll never be able to do. And he was referring to, like, weightlifting type stuff.
Yeah.
Squats and with a heavy bar on them and things like that, that his doctor basically just said, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
I get what you're saying. There's no reason to do that exercise when you're – there's other ways to strengthen your legs. But I'm a little concerned if you're going to be blocking and there's certain things that you just can't do because of your back. And that's the way it's going to be. You have to start thinking long-term. And the team took such a significant fall off last year without Eifert, offensively in particular in the red zone, that it's not a crazy thing to say you need to have a quality tight end. And in best case scenario, you've got two really good ones, and that's dynamic in its own right.
Right. Yeah. As for why not Howard at nine, is just because it's nine. You know what I mean? Like, I think, and what I mean by that is they would maybe have other players graded higher. I think the Bengals are one of those teams that stay true to their board. If he's their top-rated player left at that spot, I think they take him because you can run two tight end sets or three tight end, you know, if Tyler Croft is still in the mix somehow, or, you know, Tyler Eifert just can't really be counted on the block at all anymore, so you're kind of telegraphing some stuff. But if as far as why not, that's to me why they wouldn't, is it's just too high.
Yeah.
And he's just not on their board.
Yeah, only three tight ends taken in the first round since 2010. Yeah.
And this is the team that takes them.
They've taken two of them with Gresham and Eifert. But you start getting in the top 10,
right,
it's even more rare.
Yeah.
I mean, you're only talking about a couple of guys in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Vernon Davis, and there's really not much out there as far as times that people have devoted that. But I also think the league's different. I think those guys are more valuable than ever. And teams like New England have proven that with the way they've gotten two quality tight ends and run quality tight end sets to really throw teams for a loop and be more versatile. And a guy like O.J. Howard, the reason he goes in the top 10 is because he can run block, and he runs a 4.5, and he's big, and he can do everything. That's why a guy would go that high. So, he'd be a dynamic player. All right. Let's keep moving. Josh Serrett asks me, sorry if I mispronounced that, Josh. Said we had Ross in for a visit, John Ross, Washington receiver, combine demon. Was that in case he falls to the second because of his injuries, or is there a chance in round one? Well, I thought it was something that they decided last second to bring him in. I think, and it could be as simple as another guy they were bringing on the top 30 backed out. So last second, I honestly don't know the details behind why John Ross was a late add instead of just on the schedule.
Right.
But I can tell you this, and we have pegged this since we first started talking about this draft. He's a perfect fit for what this team needs, and that's pure speed, over the top, and ability to make guys miss on those tunnel bubble screens.
Yeah.
He's really good in the red zone, surprisingly good in the red zone for a shorter guy, which is an area where they've talked about needing to improve. I think he's a great fit for this team. I don't think you take him at 9, though.
No.
I mean, I think he's higher on the board than he is for most, but that doesn't mean he's top 10 because he does have an injury history. He is undersized.
Right.
But, yeah, I would think the possibility of trading back is always going to be in play for this team. It has been for a while, so I would think that's in play. And you never know. Maybe he does slip, or maybe they decide to combine some assets and move up out of the second round late into the first if they feel like, listen, looking at a guy who's a fit like that, I think only makes sense. And I think it's the idea that their picks move around a little bit because they probably wouldn't take him at 9, and he won't be around at 41. So if they get moved around, they want to know.
Yeah, it's like visits are a good indicator. I mean, the Bengals, they're not going to waste their time or the players' time, with a visit that, for no reason. But they also have 30 of them. So, there's a part of me, Paul, that's like, well, it's last minute. Well, maybe the guy they were supposed to see that day, decided not to come.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, well, John Ross is available. Let's find out.
Let's just have John Ross.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and for a guy who's got some serious medical issues,
that could be part of it.
It's a scary thing. To me, Paul, I'm one of those guys who are like, if a dude, this is why, I kind of cooled on Reuben Foster. Like, if you're in college getting hurt, it's real hard to get healthy in NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Jake Fisher and Cedric Obwehi. These guys have had their issues. But you got to do the medicals. Yep. So, I think that's all due diligence.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next question here. Keep it rolling. Spencer Schaefer at Buckeye 73170 asked, which is more likely on the third day, a quarterback or a kicker? I would say kicker.
Yes.
I think.
Because the other one is totally dependent on a unforeseen trade or release.
But the kicker's dependent on them deciding that one of the guys is worth the worth.
So more likely, kicker.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean,
both could be, but I can't see them.
If I were putting a number on it, I would say 77% chance they take a kicker on day 3.
Do we get like 5 mock drafts in a row if they don't hit 77%?
But don't try to take me down that path.
Okay, I'm just trying to see if that's the same percentage as the Whitworth percentage. No, that was like 100%.
I was closer to 100 on that one. I just think it's logical in the way they've set up that their offseason, and they're not going to want to have to compete probably for an undrafted free agent guy. Maybe they will. I don't know. But I think that they'll have liked one of the two guys, either Jake Elliott or Zane Gonzalez, and be willing to take a shot at them if they're there in the sixth or seventh. But if a team tries to jump in early on one of those two kickers, then they would probably go the undrafted route and just pick up a guy. Whereas quarterback, I think it's completely logical for them to pick up a quarterback sometime on day three to come in and compete with Jeff Driskel for the third spot, or and be there as a potential other guy that could replace AJ McCarron, and obviously the trade situation.
Yeah, I mean, well, let me put another name out as a kicker to watch for the Bengals. They like the Georgia Tech kicker, Harrison Butker, mm-hmm. Butker, whatever.
That guy? Yeah, Tech.
So they've got a couple kickers, you know, along with you mentioned Zane Gonzalez and Elliott from Memphis. I mean, there's 11 picks. They have enough holes, Paul, to me, that, like, why would you draft a quarterback if you're not moving AJ McCarron? Right. Because, like, I get what you're saying, where Jeff Driskel is an unknown, but like, but they carried him for 16 weeks. So why would you take away potential reps from him? I mean, not that what you did last year should impact, but I don't know. I mean, I guess kicker is more, to me, more likely. If I have to pick one between one of the two, barring no trade, I'd have to say.
Well, trade's got to come into play, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the question.
I don't think a trade is likely anyway. So
yeah,
you don't? No.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a whole other conversation, but.
It's a long conversation. Yeah. You just made a couple people like turn the volume up. They went and opened it up and like, wait, did he just say he doesn't think a trade's going to happen? Well, I you know, a lot of things I think I wrote about this week. I think a lot of things are going to have to fall into place that are probably unlikely to happen, which is, you know, the Browns have a lot of picks, and for them to not get a quarterback that they want, when they clearly need to get somebody, I think that they have more ammo to deal with than any other team does to try to get themselves into the right position. They have the 12. They've got a crap load of picks this year and next year that they can hang out there. They have 3 twos next year.
Yeah.
Right now. They just have a lot of ammo to move in order to get into position to take Trubisky, if that's the guy, if you want to believe what's out there. Or if they like somebody else.
Yeah.
And to me, the only way a McCarron deal happens is if they whiff in the first round and just they go into day two and they didn't get anybody and they're all gone.
Yeah.
And because then they've got to start to think about other options. And then what comes into play is everything that you wrote about at the combine.
Right.
Desperation.
Right.
Desperation comes into play. And if they feel like they could then hang out their 33 overall and something else, or make some sort of deal, then that's what would have to happen.
Right. Right. You're right. That would be the only scenario I foresee in terms of a trade. And, you know, in the run up to day one, I don't think is going to happen. At least not with the neighbors to the north. So, despite what may be out there. But anyway, in answer to that question, I do. I think a kicker is more likely just because they have 11 kicks and picks.
They have 11 picks. They
picks to kick. I don't know.
They better hope that they make a better percentage than Nuge did last year. Sorry.
Yeah.
Was that low? Is it too soon?
No, not too soon. Not at all. I am not too soon guy.
No.
There's never too soon.
Well, when it's too soon is actually at its highest comedic peak.
Exactly.
You can get some shock value.
Exactly.
Which is often hard to do.
So, yeah, no, I, you know, the more I think about it, what's a reach on a kicker? Fifth round?
Fourth round would be a reach, I think.
So,
I would say six. They have four picks in the sixth and seventh round that would not be considered a reach.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, to me, I just think the kicker's more likely.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. All right. Good questions, everybody. Appreciate the effort from the folks. All right. From YRP. Yo R and R P. I should probably Yorin RP. Am I like saying something dirty right now and not realizing it?
You probably are.
Yorin RP. Okay. All right. If the offensive line is bad, wouldn't a running back they draft struggle? Why not fix the offensive line first? Thank you for the hashtag BBP on that.
Yeah.
You're an RP. excellent observation. You're right. Correct. If the offensive line is bad, a running back they draft would struggle. But
or not. But anyway, go ahead. I'll answer that. Go ahead.
I would only say that I don't think that there's a whole lot of ways. This is exactly what we talked about 2 weeks ago. There's not a lot of ways in this draft to improve the offensive line.
Right.
Not for this year.
No, and when I say or not, I'm not being facetious. I think there are people in this building who point to Rex Burkhead's 4-plus yards and 100-yard effort in Week 17 as evidence, I won't say proof, as evidence that the run game production wasn't all on the offensive line because Jake Fisher's out there right tackle, TJ Johnson's playing left guard, that
the Ravens are playing dead possums.
Yeah, you know, I think in their mind, it, you know, there was some proof, not proof, again, evidence that there, you know, the schemes or the talent wasn't always terrible with the current group. Or at least guys who are be slotted in.
I buy that.
You know, at least, and they have to believe that in house because, you know, those, you know, mentioned Jake Fisher in 2015 and Cedric Obwehi. I mean, those are the guys. So they have to think that the O line will be better than it was last year. They have to.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how that's going to happen, but yeah. I would say that I do think that. A lot of it did fall on the running back with the running game last year, and that was apparent not just the last game, all of Rex Burkhead's time when he came in for Gio. You look at his numbers. I mean, he was averaging almost 2 more yards per carry than Jeremy Hill over the exact same time with the exact same blockers.
Right.
Explain that one.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you can get into this and that, and it was a small sample size, so you got to be careful.
Right.
But I think that's an encouraging sample size when you start talking about taking another running back and getting him in there and believing that it can help change things. And, you know, say fix the offensive line. They think it's fixed. This is how they meant to fix it. And they're going to live and die with the way that they've constructed it, period. So that's where we stand on that. Again, thanks for another great question. I hope I wasn't throwing some sort of slur out there just trying to say your Twitter name. It was not my intention. All right. Let's keep it moving. Another loyal follower, Kevin Irwin at Kevin Irwin 3. Always love taking questions from him. If Howard Lattimore, Fournette, I like getting choice. I like multiple choices. If Howard Lattimore, Fournette, Davis, or Barnett are there at 9, who are the Bengals taking? Well, you wanna field this first?
If all of them.
I'm going with all. I think that should be an and.
Yeah.
If they're all there.
Ooh. I might go with the running back. I think if that entire group is sitting there at 9, I think they're all really, really happy.
I would
Paul
like
Brown.
To see who was picked in the first day.
Well, yeah, right? honestly, here's the funny thing. If all of those guys are there, they might be trying to trade down to 12. You know what I mean? So
because people would be calling.
Yeah, if it's that group, I think it's the running back. I don't know.
I would tend to agree with you, because we're not saying what we would do. We're saying what we think they would do.
Right.
I think it would be Fournette if he were there at 9.
I think they think he's really special.
Yeah, I think so too. And they're not alone.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason he's probably going to go in the top 5.
Right.
Which, you know, only Ezekiel Elliott, you start getting into pretty rare territory when you start talking top 5. So, you know, I'm not going to lie, I don't necessarily buy the Fournette hype. Personally, I see too many things there that give me pause, and I just don't believe in a first-round running back, period.
Yeah, me neither.
So, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I get why they would be excited by what he could be. But I agree with you. I think it would be Fournette amongst that group, and I think Lattimore would be too.
Yeah.
Would be right behind you. I think that they just see a guy with that kind of talent and would take him. sort of the way they took William Jackson last year.
Yeah.
They don't care. Premium position, top. They probably have them. They'd have to. They probably would have Marshawn Lattimore in their top five or something like that at that point, if they were taking over those guys. So, I don't think they would care about position if that was the guy that was there. Good question.
Yeah.
Good question. That's a good conversation there. All right. All right. Z Butters.
Yep.
Z Butters 42587. Z Butters, hit us back up and tell us what 42587 is all about.
That just means that there's a lot of.
Are there a lot of Z Butters? Are there a lot of Z Butters?
Are there 42,586?
There's no way. There's no way that's true. All right. But we love you, Zach Butterfield.
Yeah.
So, what would you two consider the most shocking surprise pick at number nine? Surprise?
Mike Williams.
Offensive line. Garrett Bowles Robinson, whoever is Ryan Ramsey.
I just don't even think that's – like, that never even cross – I guess they had to technically would count because that would never even cross my mind.
That's what a surprise is.
Yeah, that is what a surprise is.
A shocking slash surprising
shocking,
pick.
Yeah.
I believe that would qualify because
– O-line would be shocking. Mike Williams, to me, would be surprising.
Yeah.
And I say that because Mike Williams doesn't seem to fit any sort of hole or need and would really, truly, I guess, be BPA that you're kind of like, okay, well, I guess he's not going to play. Or
if they took Mike Williams,
Brandon LaFell
would have a bad reaction. Yeah. And not that, I mean, and not that that
it wouldn't
should matter
from,
in the long run, but it wouldn't make sense with everything that they've done.
Right, that's why it would be surprising. O-line, yeah, that would be a shocker because I didn't even think about it.
Well, because that would mean they would either be A, giving up already on Fisher or Obwehi,
right,
or just basically saying one of these two guys is probably going to fail and we want to have somebody in the wings and looking at it as a redshirt pick in a year where there just aren't
pick.
Well, in a year where there aren't many offensive linemen,
right,
they go, if they were going to go from Bowles or Robinson, but I mean, they've looked at both of those guys, so it's not crazy,
right,
they're interested, but that would shock me.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, I mean, hot take, James would go to Deshaun Watson.
Obviously.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I would be I'd be shocked at O-line.
That's QB. Probably, yeah. Which, you know, most people would see it that aren't following closely and say, oh, that makes sense. They just lost those offensive line.
Right, right.
But those paying attention, like us that are here spending way too much time in our lives grinding over this, that would be a shock.
Yeah.
That's my answer to that. I think we answered that well. Z Butters, Z. Hey, Z Butters, again, get at us. I want to know what – that's got to stand for something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
42,587.
Is that the hit king? Is that how many hits Pete Rose has? I have no idea.
Come on, Pete Beat. No.
I'm just trying to drive people crazy. That's
all. Wait, I have a second Z Butters question on here, or did I put it in twice?
You put it in twice. So we're going to go to Greg Trice.
All right.
I'm not reading his handle because I'm just –
Was
not
it dirty?
No.
You just don't feel it.
Yeah, he's just a little evil. He wants to know, he thinks the Bengals should draft a linebacker in the first round. What do you think?
I think Reuben Foster would be considered. I don't, you know, look. The interesting analysis here is Vontaze Burfict and Kevin Minter appear to be decent near long-term solutions, right? But the problem is they're both in the last year of their contracts. They wanted to do a long-term deal with Minter. I would think they're going to at least have discussions with Vontaze Burfict about keeping him around longer. They have Nick Vigil, who they're going to try to figure out what he is, and they have super sub Vinny Ray still under contract. They have never really valued linebacker. I mean, they just try to just find guys and turn them into linebackers. So for that reason, you know, I don't think that that's something they would do. And I don't necessarily disagree with the stance there. That Reuben Foster, I think at nine, you could make an argument for. He appears to be all of that.
Yeah.
And worth it. And you can see the high side and just say, we're stacking talent. We're putting them in here. we'll work him in the first year, and he'll probably be a starter for one of those two guys next year. I buy that. But I don't know that they're going to do that.
Yeah, I think you can fit Reuben Foster to me, Paul, into the receiver discussion of, like, it made sense, very early in your favorite, you know, like, April or your favorite, like, November mock drafts and then your January mock drafts. Like, it made sense because of all the things. And at the time, Kevin Minter wasn't signed. But in this defense, like, you need a linebacker to cover and make a lot of tackles. And while they've had a hard time finding that, you're not a pass rusher. You're not, I mean, let's be real. Like, it's just not a, I hate to say impact position. Like, they want it to be an impact position, but it's not. Like, they want sacks to come from the front four. They want interceptions to come from their corners. Like, you just need it. That's why I think they think they can just find a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you need a certain skill set, but it's not a, you know, and that's what makes Vontaze, I think, special, is that he can get interceptions and he can create fumbles or actually get to the quarterback. But he was, I mean, if he didn't have the disciplinary issues at Arizona State, I don't think he was a first rounder, because a first rounder with disciplinary issues on field, because he never had off field issues, doesn't fall all the way to undrafted. You know what I mean?
Well, when not only that, and then they show up fat at the combine.
Yeah, so I don't think you fall from, you know, the number 9 overall pick to undrafted.
Yeah,
with those, you know what I mean. So I think a first round talent. It just doesn't seem like it fits for this scheme.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you said it. You said it just perfectly, Jim.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stand by your statement.
Yeah.
I think that's right. All right. Thanks to everybody for the questions that they fired to us. Really appreciate it. If you have more, keep sending them. We'll answer them on Twitter. We'll probably have some Facebook Live action coming up here as we lead up to the draft at some point. You got questions. We're going to hope to answer as many as we can. Hopefully a lot of them will already be answered in our position series, which will continue up until the draft starts. Keep checking that out daily. All right. Time for some of our favorite segments here. Jim, why are you mad? Tell me why you're mad.
I don't think – you know that line in The Princess Bride, you know, where you keep the Sicilian is just says, inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
You know, and it's like, you keep saying that word, and I don't think it means what you think it means, or whatever that quote is.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, and it's just sort of the instant, maybe it's just instant gratification or instant, you know, what's now and new is the best, but the acronym GOAT.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's getting the emoji. Now you get the GOAT with the emoji on it, too.
You know, every player who is playing is not the GOAT. You know? Damian Lillard isn't the GOAT of anything. Russell Westbrook isn't the GOAT of anything. Because the greatest of all time. That means there's only one.
Yes.
In the history of human civilization.
Greatest. It can't all be GOATs.
No. It drives me crazy, Paul. And here's the thing. Like, look, if it was just like the Twitterverse, that'd be one thing. But it's athletes who just decide to anoint their contemporaries as GOATs. It is people in our position who, like, it's our kind of our job to stay away from that stuff. It just drives me crazy. Because you're just, the word great is tossed around way too often anyway. It's like minimizing great as a word and its meaning, and it's a stupid acronym anyway, with stupid emoji, but you know, you start throwing it around.
It'd be like me calling you the GOAT of being mad on a podcast.
Yeah, you know, I can't,
you're
even
good.
Say that.
You're good, yeah. But you're not Mark Maron, you know?
No.
Or you're not if Lewis Black, does Lewis Black have a podcast?
I don't know, but he's mad.
He's mad all the time.
Yeah.
If he's ever been on one, I bet he was the maddest guy
on the
podcast.
Definitely not the greatest of all time being mad at anything.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm
just,
with you. I'm with you.
It drives me crazy.
It does. So you heard it, BBP listeners. That's at Jim Osarski. Send all your ghost
emojis.
Send all your goat emojis.
No.
Everybody you
and
think
I
is a
goat.
I
will fight you on that stuff. That's the thing.
Anybody who you think's a goat at anything, you need to attach Jim Ostarski at Jim O W C Z A R S K I.
I engage in that stuff because it drives me nuts. And I will prove you wrong.
Yes.
Unless I agree with you. And there's only
and
seriously,
I send you the thumb up.
Yeah. Because like, and however many sports there are, there's only one.
You could always just, if you want to make Jim, you want to get the thumb up, just send Jim the Tupac goat emoji, and you're good
there
to
go
from there. Because you always get the, you always get the.
Well, it depends what category. See, we're gonna go down.
No, we're not gonna go there. We're not gonna go there.
No,
because it ends up in us fighting. Yeah. In case you don't know, it always does. All right. So, reason why I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. I'm happy for a couple of things. Not only beautiful weather on the weekend for a home baseball game, but Reds fans not giving a damn and not showing up because it was so great. Because I went out to right field Friday night. It was the perfect night. I mean, just a gorgeous night taking a ball game. Good people out there. Good conversation. No beer lines. No line at Fry Box. That never happens. So basically just walked up, got whatever I wanted to. We were able to hang out and plenty of space. Could had a table available just to stand at out there. Great view. I mean,
that's the benefit of a team
club.
Just going all in on the L's. That's a good L, too.
That's
you know, because when, hey, you know, as C. Trent Rosecrans says, I root for me.
I root for me.
And you know what? Bad clubs mean
short beer
good
lines.
Exactly, short beer lines. No wait in the bathroom.
No wait in the bathroom.
No wait for the helmet ice cream.
No.
And you know what I have found? Sometimes when there's no one around for that stuff, you might get a little extra.
It's a chance.
Because that person has not seen another person for like 75 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, helmet ice cream guy? I'm going to give you an extra fudge.
The extra. yeah, it's going to be, you know, and the Reds were even good. That was like the beginning of their bad series here against Milwaukee. But still, bad for them, good for us.
Yeah.
For those of us that
like
short lines. Those of us like short lines. All right, so we are about done. We're going to wrap it up for this particular episode of the BBP, unless you have something else that you want to get to.
No.
Nothing else to get to. We'll have more. There's some news and notes up on the site. Make sure you check it out. Cincinnati.com. Hopefully you have that Bengals app. This is a great time to remind you. You seriously, like, I know that we're supposed to say this, and that's true. Like, I would get in trouble if I didn't say this, but I'm being real. Like, I am not kidding. You need this. You need this app. We buzz you anytime any kind of news happens, so you know you're always in the know, especially in the draft. 11 picks. You don't want to have to constantly be checking and see if the Bengals have picked. We just tell you.
Yeah.
We just buzz you the name and all the information you need to know on them as soon as it happens. So you're already, like, way smarter than all your friends you're hanging out with on Saturday night. So just, you need to do this.
Yeah.
Go look it up. Cincinnati Inquirer, Bengals. Go find our app. Download it. You need it. All right. So let's get some music going. We got to get out of here. We took questions today. I feel like we were sort of like we were of the people today, weren't we?
Yeah, we were of the people.
I feel like we are like we're the people's champs, you know. So what do you have any good people songs?
No, I you know, see what was funny is I went the other way. I went 50 Cent 21 questions because you're happy.
Oh.
Like a fat kid loves cake. I'm not calling you fat for by any means, but what I'm saying is like I was thinking of the Helmet Sunday, and that would make me really happy.
Yeah.
And we took questions. We didn't take 21.
We took some.
We took
we were
some.
Working our way to 21 questions.
Yeah. I don't know. So that song kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah. I like it. 21 questions plays out nice. We're here for you. All right. So we'll be back again next week. We got a couple things coming up this week. And we're expecting a schedule release at some point this week, so we'll have lots of information on that. Make sure you check the site for that. The Bengals are doing an unveiling of logo and some of their plans for the 50th season this week. So we'll have that. There's a local workout day. And then we'll have the podcast, the full-on draft preview podcast next week.
Yeah.
early next week, so you have a shelf life all week leading up, so you'll be fully prepared. I don't know what else we can say about this draft, but we're going to talk for another hour about it. So we'll get more into the specifics of where everything's at next week on the BBP as we approach the draft. This is your draft preview, and then, of course, as soon as it's over, we'll have your draft review podcast with a breakdown of everything that went down. So, anyway, thank everybody for listening. Certainly thanks 50 Cent for showing up here at the end and serenading us with little 21 questions. It's all thank you. I just want to chill and catch stunts in my 745. You drive me crazy, shorty. I need to see you and feel you next to me. I provide everything you need, and I like your smile. I don't want to see you cry. Got some questions that I gotta ask, and I hope you can come up with the answers, baby. Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me, girl? It's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me, girl? If I fell off tomorrow, would you still love me? If I didn't smell so good, would you still hug me? If I got locked up and sentenced to a quarter century, could I count on you to be there to support me mentally? If I went back to a hoopty for my bands, would you poof and disappear like some of my friends? If I was hit and I was hurt, would you be by my side? If it was time to put in work, would you be down to ride? I'd get out and peel a chill and drive. I'm asking questions to find out how you feel inside. If I ain't rap cause I flip burgers at Burger King, would you be ashamed to tell your friends that you're feeling me? In the bed, if I use my tongue, would you like that? If I wrote you a love letter, would you write back? Now we can have a little drink, you know, a nightcap, and we can go do what you like. I know you like that. Like that. Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me? Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me? Now would you leave me if your father find out I was thugging? Do you believe me when I tell you you the one I'm loving? Are you mad cause I'm asking you 21 questions? Are you my soulmate? Cause if so, girl, you're a blessing. Do you trust me enough to tell me your dreams? I'm staring at you trying to figure how you got in them jeans. If I was down, would you say things to make me smile? I treat you how you want to be treated, just teach me how. If I was with some other chick and someone happened to see, and when you asked me about it, I said it wasn't me. Would you believe me or up and leave me? How deep is our bond if that's all it takes for you to be gone? We only humans, girl, we make mistakes. To make it up, I do whatever it takes. I love you like a fat kid love cake. You know my style, I say anything to make you smile. Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me? Girl, it's easy to love me now. Would you love me if I was down and out? Would you still have love for me? In a girl, could you love me on a bus? I'll ask 21 questions, and they all about us. Could you love me in a Bentley? Could you love me on a bus? I'll ask 21 questions, and they all about us.